Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy. You know, I was thinking more, you know, welcome back. I was just thinking more, Steve, about this evil suspicion.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I know we've been talking about it, and I mean, of all the things that could have happened was in the very beginning of all creation, you know, Eve began to have evil suspicions about God because she believed, I mean, think about it. She believed what Satan had told her.
Mm-hmm.
You know, God just, you know, he's not pure in his response to you. What he really is concerned about is you'll eat from this tree and then you'll be like him and you'll know. And so all of a sudden she began to take on evil suspicions about God. I mean, that's kind of how you think of it like this, because, you know, he says in his word, I think it was 1 Timothy, as I said, chapters, was it 4 or 5 or 6? He talks about, he says in verse 3, he says, if anyone teaches otherwise or anything different than what I'm teaching, and does not agree to sound doctrine, instruction of our Lord Jesus Christ, into godly teaching. And how many people who really is, think about it. You just simply pull out the Bible and say, you know, I'm with you here. We need mercy and grace with this, but this is how God wants us to do this.
Mm.
Honey, mm-hmm. Husband, you know, children, finance, church. Think about that. He said, if anyone teaches anything else that I've been teaching you and does not agree to sound instruction or doctrine of the Lord Jesus Christ and to godly teaching, he says, they are conceited and they understand nothing. You understand nothing? The clinger. So
who?
It's a fly. It's never mind.
That accent again.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. And so Hogan's Heroes back in 1812.
Okay.
And so
that's before your time.
You gotta have have the movie in your head to make your accent how to fit. Then he says, they have an unhealthy interest, those people have unhealthy interest in controversies and arguments, quarrels about words that result in envy, strife, malicious talk, and evil suspicion.
Mm.
And constant friction between people of corrupt minds, who have been robbed of the truth and who think that godliness is a means to financial gain. He goes on to say, he says, look, have nothing to do with these folks. I mean, if Eve would have walked away from Satan's conversation, think about it. If we would just walk away from people who were trying to produce evil suspicions in us about mm-hmm. others. I mean, the moment that people start putting things in your mind and in your heart about somebody that's creating the image and the likeness of God without any facts, without any motive. In other words, if you have no authority to do something about it, and God requires nothing of you for that person, then there's no reason for you to even know that. Mm-hmm. But if there's a required response, in other words, if you're an authority over that situation, or you know God is wanting you to pray for that person, not criticize that person, that's different. But if they're just creating false, evil concepts and narratives, which is taking place all over the place today. He said, these people are just, they're working some scheme out that produces something good for them.
Mm-hmm.
It's about, you know, they're conceited. They're just the I factor. But the way that, you know, I was talking about how we're created, and I was reading from the scriptures about, you know, if we say and we believe and we confess, you know, it's going to happen. So we begin to build our own environments with that. We begin to you know, it is ever how I believe it is. And this is what people understand is you need to know how somebody perceives it, because to them, that's their reality, mm-hmm. even though it's not reality. But because they perceive it that way, they're totally convinced that they're right, even if they're wrong. So you can't just go, well, that's just stupid. I mean, how many people just go, that's just stupid? And it's like, you can't do that. You've got to be able to say that, that I understand what you're saying. This is what you're saying, you know, A, B, C, and they go, correct. That's exactly how I see it. And then you say, okay, well, let's go find out what God has to say about it. And then they get to compare the two and they find out what I perceived is wrong. This is how it is. Or they go, I don't care. This is how I want it to go. And they make a decision like that. Well, since we can create, imagine this. Imagine, so we have I don't know. Have you ever been in the ocean before? Have you ever been in the Gulf before?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Isn't it amazing that if you take your body and you jump into this huge ocean, that water, unless you open your mouth and breathe through your nose, that water does not have access inside your body.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
I mean, it's like your body's watertight. The older you get, the less watertight. I think water's got out of my ear. And so, you know, you learn as a kid, you know, don't breathe when you're underwater, right?
All right.
It's like call rescue, you breathe underwater. And so, you're able to get in the water, but nothing changes on the inside of you. Mm-hmm. But if you get a cut, you know, all of a sudden now that water can actually have access into your body. The outside can influence the inside.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what happens is, imagine when you begin to entertain evil suspicions, it's like you open up a hedge of protection around you, the shield of faith. You begin to, if you would, you know, put a cut in your skin. And now what you were able to be in called the world, who didn't have access to you, now you just open this Pandora's box of accusations. You basically just said, Mr. Accuser, come and accuse that person to me.
Mm.
You just totally opened it up. It's like, yeah, you're so used to all those times you swam and you didn't get wet on the inside. You're thinking, you're still confused. You don't understand why these things were happening. And you're judging where you are now based on where you used to be. But you used to not entertain accusations about folks, these false accusations. But once, it's amazing, you know, once you're open to the fact of that narrative, that accusation being true, there's like 15,000 things that just flood in instantly.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Satan is called the accuser of the brethren. I mean, he's not just the accuser of mankind. He's accuser of Christian brothers and sisters.
Mm-hmm.
So if you don't understand this, you may walk around offended all the time, not understanding. It's just you and Satan having to talk like Eve did with Satan in the garden. I mean, you guys are just buying into everything that Satan says. And so if you entertain that, and this is what Jesus said, he's a liar. He's a father of lies, and he's been, you know, when he lies, he speaks his native language. So he's not going to tell you the right truth of what's going on in someone's life. And what some people call discernment is nothing but a critical fault-finding judgment, evil suspicion spirit that just comes out of them over something. And when you start speaking it, it is your reality. So all of a sudden, when you start presenting your life towards that person you're accusing, you start getting feedback based on what your beliefs are, which causes you to go deeper in your spiral. It's like, I just knew it. I knew she was like that. I knew he was, you know, and this, all of a sudden it's like, man, you're going down, Eve. I mean, this ain't going to be good. It's called the fall of man, right?
Right.
And I remember when, you know, some of the examples of that, you have that, you know, the enemy is accusing continually, and you have to be able to be mindful of that. You know, when you're being used as a gauge for what's going on, you know, that is the synergy of pride. But when Jesus is being used as the plumb line, all of us need help. We realize that every one of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But I was flying on a plane, and I'm speaking about, you know, how the accuser comes in. I'm on this particular plane, and I'm coming back. I think I was with John and Teresa in Jersey, and just flying. We're catching the flights and all different things that you do. And I'm sitting in the middle of this one flight, and I look in my luggage on the flight.
In your luggage?
In my luggage.
Okay.
Or on it. What is it? On it or in it?
I wasn't sure what you said.
Yeah, on it. It's a good program here. Listen. And so, no, right.
I'll try.
Right.
In the overhead compartment.
And, you know, all of a sudden, I look at there, and I look, and my camera's missing. My camera was missing that was there. And I was more concerned about the shots that were on the camera. And so I'm sitting, you know, with, you know, several people in the same row as me. And immediately, as soon as I looked everywhere that I could find it, and I looked to the right, and I looked to the left, and looked around, immediately the enemy began to accuse people to me. I mean, it was instant. And then he built on that to saying, okay, since that's probably the truth, then this is probably what's going on. And so that was just, it was like this huge wave of just just a deluge of accusation, then all of a sudden, and if that's true, then this is what's going on. And this is why this person's looking straight forward right now, because they don't, it's like, oh my goodness. It's like, this person's convicted. Satan has convicted this person and convinced me, you know, and I was just, I remember I you know, didn't say anything, and I get off of the flight and catch on the flight, whatever. And I get back to home, and I'm talking about this thing. I'm talking about every accusation that the enemy told me. And it was so real to me. It was so real to me. It was true. And I could feel it. I could see it. I mean, everything, the dimensions that he painted out, the enemy painted out to me. And then one day, Donna, my wife, finds the camera. And the camera was sitting by a chair. It had fallen out in the crack of a chair in our home, but which means I brought it back with me. And this innocent human being.
Poor guy.
Yeah. Well, I realized you didn't take it. this innocent human being, was just, I just felt horrific. Yeah. I just felt like, who am I? Who do I think I am? I mean, it just felt terrible and just like all this compassion. And I just wanted to go find, I was going to find this person because we were traveling throughout the States. And I just felt like dirty and just wrong, and it was evil. And I think, oh my goodness, as I'm thinking about what we're talking about, that's exactly what it's like when the enemy starts speaking false, evil, has this evil suspicioning spirit, these evil suspicions, you know. I'm sure that, you know, he took this camera. I'm sure that that's the reason why they didn't hire you. I'm sure, you know, that this whole thing's based on racism. I'm sure the reason why that he won't let you do that because he doesn't honor women. I'm sure, you know, this is what's wrong. You know, it's all these accusations, and we buy into those things. Mm. And it's really real to us. That's our perception. And we're never going to get along. We're never going to move in unity if we're listening to the accuser of the brethren. And we've got to realize, you know what? You know, this thing, this is just amazing. You know, things happen, but immediately you don't have to lay blame. You don't have to begin to immediately try to resolve things by thinking it has to be this and it has to be that, because you're like cutting yourself in the water, and you're going to, a flood of accusations are going to come in. You just got to pray about it. Mm. You got to pray about it. Say, dear Lord, you know, help me with this situation. And God's not worried that we lose something. He's not worried. I mean, if a neighbor comes to borrow a cup of sugar, give it to him. You know, if someone needs help, help them. You know, if somebody punches you in one cheek, turn the other cheek. He's not that concerned about these kind of things. But he's more concerned about a reaction to those things. Mm-hmm. And understand that the accuser of the brethren is like the ocean. And when we're walking right before the Lord, we're like that human body in the water. And the moment we entertain an accusation against another, that whole ocean is going to flood in. Mm-hmm. The water that was on the outside, the accusation that was on the outside of your shield of faith, your confidence, you know, the shield of faith, which extinguishes all the accusations of the enemy. Mm-hmm. Now you have a cut in it, a split in it. You have a kink in your armor, and the enemy is going to flood all these accusations, and you just have to stop and slam on the brakes. This is so important, because I believe so many people, maybe in your marriage, maybe in your family, maybe in your church gathering, maybe in your workplace, maybe, you know, the enemy is accusing your boss to you every single day. Mm. You know, maybe he's accusing your employees to you, your fellow coworker, maybe your pastor. The enemy's accusing your pastor to you, your flock to you. I mean, you're maybe the president. The enemy's accusing the president to you, and you to the president. I mean, all kinds of, we've got to listen. We've got to pay attention. Who is this accuser? Mm. So if truly the accuser, and it's Revelation 12:19, he says, for the accuser of the brothers and the sisters, you know, your fellow believers, who accuses you before God day and night. So that's like the ocean. It's like this water. It's like air. And it has no access to us unless we begin to do like Eve and entertain what is being said to us as a potential. It's a suspicion now. All right. Some people call it gossip, you know. But you're opening yourself up when you allow something to be said like that. And I'm just telling you, there's people who call themselves intercessors, but you're nothing but just captives to people who are, have evil suspicions. And everything you say, you're feeding into the ear of, I mean, even Jesus said to Peter, you know, you almost tempted me not to do the Father's will. And just for the office, or there is no, I mean, there's no office per se, but somebody who says, you know, I got my intercessors, which is great. It's good to pray. Everybody should pray. But if you carry that evil suspicion all the time, you're just like the mouth. You're like what happened with Peter when he told Jesus, because Peter had some evil, entertained the evil suspicion of Satan, the accusation that said, listen, if you know, this is what's going to happen, Peter. If Jesus goes to Jerusalem, they're going to kill him and all this is going to be over. Mm-hmm. And so Peter says to Jesus, now that he's believed that evil accusation, Jesus, don't go to Jerusalem. Jesus' response was, Satan, get behind me. Why? Right. Because that accusation came from Satan. It's so important because sometimes you'll begin to categorize Peter as what he said versus, no, the words he spoke was spiritual. He was repeating an accusation of the enemy, and he would be used most powerfully, as we read about in the book of Acts, to preach one of the most powerful messages, you know, in the church was birth. Mm-hmm. And so it's, you know, any of us could be held captive or held, you know, be trapped by that. And we can always measure what is, does this divide me from them or does this unite me with them? Mm-hmm. Does this cause me because you can't control what the enemy's fighting or shooting at you. You can't say, you know, I must feel terrible now because the enemy just accused this person to me. You can say, you cannot entertain that as reality. You're not going to let that thought, you mm-hmm. know, as you were saying in the break, you know, every mm-hmm. thought's not our thought.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so you can't feel bad because that just came your way. But if you let it nest in your mind and you let it stay there and you begin to entertain it as, hey, you know, maybe so, then that thing's getting root. It's going to formulate and it's going to produce, you know, sin and evilness in our own lives. But just give you another example of this. And this happens all the time because it's like water. So I'm just going to lay myself out there because I know this has never happened to anybody that's listening and definitely nobody here other than me on the program. But you know, similar to the situation, I was in a restaurant and I was eating, hot wings. Those are amazing gifts from the Lord, aren't they?
Yes, they are. Good ones.
Big ones. Big hot wings.
Big bread.
And I'm just having the time of my life because, you know, it's hot
enjoying
wings.
The moment.
And, yeah, normally you got sports or something going on.
Hot sauce. That.
So... And all of a sudden, in the midst of all this greasiness and this stuff everywhere, this joyful moment, all of a sudden, I look down and my cell phone's missing.
Oh my gosh.
My cell phone's
missing. You should know by now.
Well, this is not recently. What you did last week. Jimmy, crickets, come on. We're just talking about stuff that happened 1812.
I mean, when you lose stuff.
No. And so... my cell phone's missing. You know, it was a Razor phone. What do you call those things?
Oh yeah. Wow. That was a while back.
Foot Thank phone? You. I knew that would help.
Wow.
It was not a Razor phone, but it helps you date.
Close. Yeah. Yeah.
And so
flip phone.
It was, I don't know. I had a dial up on it. Anyway. So I looked down, you know, and it's Rotary. Missing and immediately you go through the checklist. I have to go to a deep checklist because my brain is not like use guys' brain, but they get this list always just thumbing through file. I have no files to go through. If I'm not spirit-led, I'm lost. Anyway, and so, I start thinking, you know, was I here? Did I leave it there? Did I put it here? And then all of a sudden, I open myself up. When I lift up my head from my hot wings and I looked around the restaurant and immediately... Same was right there to begin to maybe this one, maybe that one. You remember when you went here? You remember when this happened? And I'm thinking, you know, I'm buying into it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm buying it. How many people right now saw Ferguson on their news and you allowed the accuser to accuse anybody that you saw on television and you believe what you perceive to be is true and it's not? You don't even know. You don't even know. You don't even really know. Unless you're there, you don't really know what's happening. We have to listen to the folks that are there. Ferguson, Missouri. And so, you know, the hearing the son of Hamas, you know, listening to his story and understanding how he got saved. And it gives you, it's like, oh my goodness, I entertain evil suspicions about the Arab people or people who are in Hamas, that they can be saved too. They can give their life to the Lord. They can leave that life. You know, and you think, how many people have been isolated from the gospel because we allowed the devil to accuse them to us, a people group or a nation or whatever. So I look around this, restaurant, and immediately, just like the ocean, as I looked at certain folks in that particular restaurant, he would begin to, I mean, he gave probabilities for, it was just like this radar looking around. It was kind of, all these probabilities are coming in.
Right.
And you go through all these emotions and the feeling of loss, and the enemy just gets, you know, how many children have done this with their parents? How many parents have done this with their children? How many brothers have done this to brothers? Just ball into what the enemy's doing. I go and talk to the particular owner of the restaurant, which is an acquaintance of mine, and I guess it's just lost. It's just lost. And I go to get my vehicle. When I go to get my vehicle, there was my phone. There was my phone. And you know what? I wanted to share that with you because I mean, this is, you know, it could happen to you today. I'm not talking about, but understand, this is where we are today. The devil is dividing everybody he can in America. He's dividing the church. He's dividing marriage. He's dividing family. He's accusing everybody to everybody, God to you, your brother to you, people to you, and he's dividing. This is what you say to folks. I won't believe what they say about you if you won't believe what they say about me, which shocks folks because they didn't realize that they were the only ones hearing accusations of the enemy. Like, you won't believe what the devil told me, but I ain't going to tell you what to do. He says, or you can say, you know what? If you don't believe what Satan says about me, I won't believe what he says about you. Let's believe what God says about each other. Let's be willing to take a loss. Be very, very cautious when you suffer a loss, when something goes wrong, when you lose your job or you don't get a raise or something doesn't go right or you get chose for the singing part or I mean thousands of things, whatever it is. Guard your heart because the enemy is going to come in like a flood if you open yourselves up to accusation. When the enemy comes in like a flood, take heart because our God will raise a standard in the middle of it. Don't entertain evil suspicions. You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN TV and the Data Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light.